The book of Acts, chapter 4 and chapter 5, talk about the first mighty miracle. Chapter 3, huh? The first mighty miracle and its result and the persecution followed. We know that the Apostolic Church is the example of the true church. We should expect that before Jesus' second coming, we will go through a lot of tribulation and persecution too. Nowadays, seems persecution come to us in a very soft way because we try to be against the tide, against the worldly trend. So quite often we will be isolated. That's another kind of persecution too, a very subtle way in your heart. But we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit, have the power of the Holy Spirit, so we can still enjoy the peace where we are different from others. And then, while they were under persecution, they hold very firm about their religious belief. They hold very firm about their principle. And this kind of belief and principle will never bend because of persecution. So the true Christian will never bend because the difficulty for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now we look into the E4. E2F. And D. Yeah. The abidance and the help of God. Chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. Chapter 5, Acts chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. And laid their hand on the apostle and put them in the common prison. Verse 19. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison door, and brought them out and said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the God, the people, all the words of this life." Verse 21. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But then the officer came and did not find them in the prison. They returned and reported. You know, Psalm chapter 23 say, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil." The valley of the shadow of death means the death like a shadow cover you. In any moment, it's very possible you will die. That was the time the apostle was under persecution. But we fear no evil. Why? Because God is with us. So the most important point is not what is going to happen surrounding us. The most important point is we need to have the abidance of God. If we have the abidance of God, we have no fear about anything. You see, when Daniel was under persecution, God abided with him. So the lion was not able to bite him. When Joseph was in Egypt, suffering a lot, but he had the abidance of God. So eventually, he was able to elevate to prime minister. So the most important for a Christian is not suffering. To be afraid is not suffering. It's not the changing outer environment. It is whether God is with us or not. So the apostle did have the very clearly abidance and guidance of God, even though they were under persecution. But God still comforted them and guided them. So in the chapter 5, verse 19 onwards, when they were thrown into the prison, the door was opened, and the apostle was leading out and continued to bear witness for the Lord. Number E, rejoice in suffering. Verse 41 and 42. Chapter 5, verse 41 and 42. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, and they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. After they were released from the persecution, they were forbidden to preach Jesus Christ anymore. However, verse 41 says, they depart from the presence of the council. Their heart was so joyful because they counted worthy to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? When something really makes a meaning to you, you suffer for this, it's a joy. For example, your parent give birth to you, had suffered a lot, right? The 10 months of pregnancy after you were born, the parents spent a lot of time to take care of you. It's a lot of suffering, but it's also a lot of joy. Why? Because to the parents, when you were born to the world, that give meaning to their life. So when there's a meaning, suffering is a source of joy. So today, as a Christian, where comes the joy? The joy comes from God himself. Whatever you do is because of the name of Jesus Christ, and that will give you a joy. So our lifestyle is quite different from the people in the world. The people in the world, because they don't have God, so their happiness usually have to use the money to purchase it. If you have money, you have a lot of different excitement, different stimulation, so you feel very happy. But for the children of God, one of the important sources of our joy is come from you do something for God. From the bottom of your heart, you sacrifice for him. You are so comforted because you were able to live a meaningful life. One day I talked with some of the youth, I look at their face. While they are talking, they are very joyful, very happy. Why? Because the previous week, they spent the whole Sunday, went to the church, and to help the church painting and patching the hall. So when they get next week, they gather together to have a fellowship. They talk about they have doing something for the church. So right now, the church looks better. They feel very happy. I thank God. Our youth know how to love God and do something for God and consider that a kind of soul, a kind of joy. That's wonderful. So in the summertime, instead of you spend a lot of money watching the movie and go out to have fun, right? One of the sources of the fun is, why not you spend a little bit of time try to help the church? Help the church do this project, that project, help the church to clean up painting. And that will make your life become more meaningful. So if we gradually can guide our life into the direction, we do everything for the sake of God's name from the bottom of your heart, and your life will become very joyful. And this kind of joy, you can never be substituted by anything else, because this kind of joy comes from your inner heart, comes from your spiritual rational, spiritual understanding. You are doing something very meaningful. So the apostle was able to continue to suffer for God because they consider suffering is very meaningful. So they rejoice in suffering. And chapter 5, verse 34 to 39. 34 to 39, we can understand the Gamaliel give them a very wise advice. Let's see chapter 5, verse 33. Chapter 5, verse 33. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. How come they were so furious? Because they persecuted them and forbid them to preach the name of Jesus Christ. But after they went out, they continued to preach the name of Jesus Christ. So the council member feel that they did not respect them, feel they were threatened. So they intended to kill them. But in that right moment, one of the very important person called verse 34, chapter 5, verse 34. And one in the council stood up, Pharisee's name Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, commanded them to put the apostle aside in a little while. So this was a well-learned person. He gave advice out of common sense, even though he did not believe Jesus Christ. But out of common sense, he still can give a good advice. What was his advice? His advice is citing from the history. Those who do not come in from God eventually will scatter around. So for a small period of time, maybe one person can attract a lot of people. But once the person passed away, all the people congregated together will be dispersed. That was the history. So Gamaliel advised them, verse 38, chapter 5, verse 38. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. Verse 39. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found of fighting against God. So Gamaliel was a Pharisee who feared God, but who did not believe in Jesus. So based on fearing God, he just suggested, why not let this group of people alone? If it come from God, and you persecute them, you are doing something against God. That was a very serious sin. If whatever they are doing is not from God, after a period of time, they are going to scatter around. They are going to achieve nothing. And because of this advice, what happened? Verse 40. So, and they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostle and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the same name of Jesus and let them go. So eventually they let them go because of the advice of Gamaliel. So this is the first miracle and the persecution. And we understand during the time of persecution, the apostle still filled with peace and joy. That is something very precious. Do you know, usually we define peace as what? Nothing happened in your life, so you are very peaceful. Everything goes smoothly, so you are very peaceful. Yes, that's a kind of peace. And that kind of peace is coming from the world. So that kind of peace is very fragile. It's easy to be broken. How can it possible in your whole life nothing happened to you? How can it possible in your whole life never sick? How can it possible in your whole life you never been laid off? How can it possible in your whole life you never have family problem? So we encounter a lot of problems all the times. And the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ is even though something happened in your life, a lot of difficulty happen in your life, but your life still very calm, have the tranquility, and your life are very joyful. And how can we achieve that kind of goal? The only way is to be filled by the Holy Spirit, have the abidance of God. That was the only way. So when Peter was thrown into the jail in the later part, he was able to fall asleep. How can this possible? It's because the peace of God prevailed in his heart. And in these three chapters, you can see one incident happen. While the mighty miracle happened in the apostolic church, while everybody feared God, what happened? There was a sin. There was a sin hidden in the church. How did God deal with that sin? Let's turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. 12 and 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceive, chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. Okay. Yet none of the race dared to join them, but the people esteemed them highly. Verse 4. And the believers were increasing, adding to the Lord. A multitude of both men and women. Because a mighty miracle happened, right? So there was a great fear among the congregation. They feared God because they knew God was in was among them. In previous chapter, start from chapter 3, chapter 4, they really feared God. And in this right moment, there was a sin hidden in the church, which we mentioned in Acts chapter 5 verse 1 to verse 13. The story of Ananias. Ananias did not murder. Ananias did not steal. Ananias did not commit adultery. Right? And how come? Ananias died in tragic way. This is the lesson we have to learn. Because Ananias was deceiving the Holy Spirit. You look into chapter 5, verse 3. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Verse 4, while it is remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived these things in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. While God was working mightily, Ananias sold all what he had, but privately he kept a small portion for himself, and he brought the money to the apostle. Say, this is the money I sold, all the money I sold, my property. Because at that time, a lot of people sold everything they have and bring the money to the church. So everything in common. But Ananias, in his heart, he want to enjoy that kind of glory. Oh, he was a person loving God, so he sold everything and bring it to God. However, he hide a little bit for himself. And what happened? So Peter was moved by the Holy Spirit and say, you are not cheating men, you are cheating God. And then what happened? Chapter 5, verse 5. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathe his last. So great fear came upon them, those who heard these things. So Ananias died in that right spot. Then we have to ask a question. How come God treat Ananias so strictly? Do you know this is the first punishment of God come to the apostolic church? From chapter 2 until chapter 4, all the apostolic church was in a perfect condition. And chapter 5, this is the first sin committed in the church. So if that sin was not dealt with very strictly, and later on the sin will become a yeast and spread around in the church and corrupt the whole church. Do you remember in the book of Exodus, when was a person in the Sabbath day went out to pick up the stick, right? And the person was caught and brought to Moses. And Moses did not know what to do. So Moses prayed to God. And God said, you have to stone the person to death. We don't know why a person only pick up the stick, try to cook something, and the end is the death. Because if the person was not well dealt with, and that long, a lot of people will follow the person, and the blessing of enjoying the Sabbath will be broken. So the first case, God always deals very strictly. So everybody had a fear and come back to observe the Sabbath. So everybody can enjoy blessing, can enjoy the peace and rest. The same thing here. God revealed the sin hidden in the church. So everybody come to the church with fear. When the Holy Spirit walked mighty in the church, I tell you, nobody dare to come to the church without repentance. You know, in the time of apostolic church, right? Ananias died and his wife died in the church. So I believe everybody, before they come to the chapel, they must pray a lot, repent a lot. Otherwise, the time they enter into the chapel, maybe Peter say, come, right? And die again in the chapel, all right? So when God walked mighty in the church, everybody have fear about God. Everybody will repent. So right now, sometimes the church has a hidden sin inside, and we don't know. But if you pray and pray and pray, when the whole church has been filled by the Holy Spirit, the sin will be revealed. Do you know? Nobody will able to hide in the church. A sinner cannot hide in the congregation of the righteous person when the guys walk mightily. So the only one way we can cleanse the church is to pray. Everybody being filled by the Holy Spirit. The sin cannot hide in the church. In one of the NYTS, one time one of the counselors one day come and told me, she saw a vision. During the prayer, she saw a vision. She saw one brother and one sister who was a participant of that NYTS lay naked in the same bed. So she was shocked. She told and come and tell me, you know, a brother and sister, they hide naked in the bed. Who know? Nobody know. They did it in secret. They did it, even their parents did not know it. But when a member, a counselor pray very hard for the blessing of the NYTS, and God revealed by the vision. God revealed by the vision. And you heard some of the incidents. Some people commit very serious sin and holding an important office in the church. And eventually, God used a dream to reveal the sin. God used different ways to reveal the sin. So no one should think you commit sin and you can hide your sin forever. No. In the eyes of God, all the sins are transparent. So when guys walk mighty in the church, none of the sin can be hide. Everyone should repent. If you don't repent, you come to front of God, you will be judged. Now, there was in one of the, I think, spiritual convocation, and everybody prayed really hard. And one of the students, the money was lost. The coordinator was worried very much. Because one person, the money lost, means another person must steal this person's money. If there is a sin there, and the guy is not going to work with that spiritual convocation. Also, the the minister just announced, if anyone who take away the money by accident, right? Actually, it's not accident, it's purposely. Please just drop the money in the offering box. After announced for a few days, nothing happened. But the minister keep on praying, God, please reveal the whole matter to us. We want the congregation to be holy, to receive your blessing. And in one of the morning prayer, after the prayer section, the minister ring the bell, and there was a person keep on kneeling, and the hands stick together, was unable to separate. And it was a true seeker. It's not a church member, it was a true seeker. Also, the minister immediately know it was he who steal the money. So in order not to embarrass him, just escort him into the preacher's room and ask him what happened. And he tell, because he steal the money. So True Jesus Church is not an ordinary congregation, do you know? True Jesus Church is the temple of God. It's the body of Christ. This is the holy temple. If you don't repent, God will reveal your sin. If you don't repent, God will deal with your sin. God will hold you accountable. The only one way is to repent. Totally repentance. Otherwise, there will be no good ending to hide the sin we have committed, even though nobody know it. In one of the incident happened in Africa, in Liberia, same thing, one of spiritual convocation. And then one person came out was lost. The same thing. How come in spiritual convocation one person's camera was lost? The whole congregation prayed a lot. And one of the members received revelation. He saw the vision. The camera was hidden in the jungle, in the bottom of a tree, and buried by the leaves. Everybody was, initially was a doubt. Is that true? And then they follow the instruction of the vision. Go, about 10 or 20 minutes, go into the jungle. And there was a leaves, and put away the leaves, and saw the camera there. So the whole congregation was filled with fear. God is here. So God was able to reveal anything hidden inside our heart. Was able to reveal our private life. So this incident really shocked the whole congregation. You know, church is a place God listens our prayer. It's a throne of mercy. Because of throne of mercy, you kneel down and pray, God will show mercy to you, give you a lot of blessing. But church is a throne of judgment too. So God has two divine character. So don't just treat God as a merciful God, and I commit sin and I still ask for the blessing of God. God is a God of judgment, and he is in the presence of the church. So when we come to the church, repentance is very important. From the Acts chapter 5, the whole congregation was filled with fear. Then after the incident of Ananias, what happened? Chapter 5, verse 12 to 16, you can see, especially verse 14. Chapter 5, verse 14. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, a multitude of both men and women. So the multitude increased. Why? Because the whole congregation being cleansed. They fear God, live a holy life. So the multitude increased. So today, in the church, we read this really should be the goal of our pursuit. So this is chapter 5 to chapter 3 to chapter 5. Now we're going to chapter 6. Chapter 6. The first six, seven verses is talk about chosen seven people in charge of distributing the food. The persecution was the first problem encountered by the apostolic church. Do you know there is where there is a man, there is problem, right? But where there is God, there is solution. Thank God, you have problem, but God has solution. Chapter 3, we study the problem facing by the apostolic church is the persecution. And chapter 6, another problem. Now we look into chapter 6, verse 1. Now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenistic because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. So there was a complaint. What was the complaint? Because the person who speak Greek, just like overseas Chinese, something like that, who speak the Greek, the widow, especially widow, was neglected in daily distribution. So how did the apostle resolve that complaint so that the church can continue to grow? So the Bible provides us an example. So a lot of problems we are facing in the church, if you go back to the book of Acts, you can see the principle of resolving the difficulties. Then, chapter 6, verse 2. And then the 12 summoned the multitude of the 12 and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the words of God and serve table." Verse 3. "And therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint it over this business." So the apostle did not superficially address the issue. What was the superficial way to address the issue? Since the distributing of the food been neglected, so we just assign more members to take care of that. Now, that was not the way. The apostle tried to address the issue from the root. The root of the problem. What was the root of the problem? Because the 12 apostles not only preach, they had to take care of the distributing of the food. So their workload too heavy. That was the root of the problem. Their workload was too heavy. So what should they do? They have to choose people and dedicate the responsibility to them so that the apostle can concentrate their mind in preaching and prayer. So this is the way they resolve the issue. Verse 4. "But we will give ourselves continually to pray and to the ministry of the world." Verse 5. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, the man full of faith, with Holy Spirit and Philip and onwards, the seven apostles." The most ideal situation in the church is everything has somebody to do it, and everybody has something to do. That's the most ideal situation in the church. If we come to the church, we join a church, and we have nothing to do, I think something wrong. Why? Because church is the body of Christ, right? It's the body of Christ. Can you see any part of your body without function? Right? Every part of your body has its own function. If we are part of the body, you must think about then, what is my function in this church? If we have no function in the church, either we are ignorant about our function, or it's the time for us to go back to heaven. Because you have no function, right? You have no function, it's better to go back to heaven, right? So when Paul was in prison, right, he said, "I will not die." Why? Because I know God still have work for me to do. So even though I am in prison, I will be delivered out and to strengthen the faith of members so their joy can be fulfilled. So if you have something to do, if God wants you to have something to do, and you really do it, no matter what happens, you will not die. The car accident, the whole car been wrecked, but you've been pulled out of the car. Everything is good, right? Because what? God has something for you to do. Even though you sick badly, but eventually you will be cured. Why? Because God still has something to do, something for you to do, so you will not die. So everybody will have to think about, you have to think about, what is your function in the church? If you have no function, maybe it's a time for you to go to heaven. Think about. If you have no function, you have to ask God, God, let me know, what do you want me to do in this church? So everyone must have something to do. Either you clean the chapel, you cooking, you interpreting, or you vacuum the floor, you must have something to do. And everything has somebody to do it. The most the situation no good is what? A small amount of people do a lot of things, and rest of the congregation has nothing to do. And this church is not right, because a lot of people do a lot of small amount of people do a lot of things. Now they feel they have been burned out, their energy been totally consumed, and a lot of people have nothing to do. If they have nothing to do, they don't know the difficulty of doing holy work. They keep on pointing the finger, all right, and to discourage those who work very hard. It's not right. For example, if you have been cooking in the kitchen, you will never criticize, oh, this cooking is too salty, this cooking is no good, right? Because you know it's very difficult to cook, especially for men, right? Right? I know a church, very good. No matter what the cooking team cook, it's overdone. But all the brothers still praise, thank God, today's meal is very good. Right? Actually, it's not very good. Right? But when he says, thank God, today's meal is very good, those who are cooking feel very pleased. They feel very comforted because the effort they put into serving God have been recognized, have been accepted. So in the church, try not to criticize other people's work, no matter what kind of work. As long as they were willing to work, that means they put a lot of effort into it. If you try to do that kind of work, you may not do the same work. For example, you come, you listen to somebody interpret, right? What kind of interpretation that is, right? But if you are the one who come up, you are going to see the difficulties. Very difficult, right? Interpretation is the most difficult thing, more than you deliver a sermon. Because if you deliver a sermon, you can deliver randomly, not randomly, by the movement of Holy Spirit. But when you are assigned to interpret, you have to follow the thinking of the one who speaks. Very difficult, very difficult. You have to use a very suitable vocabulary and to convey the meaning 100% faithful. It's not easy. So we should not criticize other people very easily, especially when other people are working very hard for the work of God. We have to pray for them. One day you get involved with the work, you are going to understand. For example, the most difficult job, of course, every job is different. Most difficult job sometimes in the church is what? General affair. How come general affair is the most difficult job? Because Chinese say 总务. 总务 means what? Everything belongs to you. 总务, all right? So if anything is not belong to financial affair, not religious affair, then belong to general affair. You come to attend the NYTS, right? Maybe you feel, oh, this no good, that no good, right? But if you are the one in the hosting church, helping prepare the logistic support for 150 members living for 15 days, you are going to know that country that needs a lot of effort. So even though you are not very comfortable here, try to give thanks to Bowling Park Church. Don't criticize, because it's very tough. It's very tough. And after finish, right, you just pack your luggage, bye-bye, you go, right? And who is going to do the cleanup? It is Bowling Park Church. So maybe eventually we can find out everybody have to clean up and then you go. That is a way to make you become more mature, become a more responsible person. Okay, now, there are three conditions to choose a worker of God. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So the business are related to distributing the food. So they are supposed to use the condition who has a big muscle, right? Let's compare. If you can lift up 100 pounds, you are qualified. If you cannot lift up 100 pounds, you are disqualified, right? They should compare the muscle. But that was not the condition. When they tried to choose 7 people in charge of distributing the food, what happened? They used a spiritual criteria to select the person. Why? We have to think about why. If you look into the condition one by one, the first one must have good reputation. What? Why? Because if you have a good reputation, when you try to lead the congregation, people will follow. Oh, because you are well respected. Now, if you don't have good reputation, you try to lead, nobody is going to follow. Do you know in the church is not a company? If you try to lead, nobody want to follow. What are you going to do? You have nothing to do. You cannot do anything because everybody comes to the church as a volunteer. Right? So a person who has good reputation is easy to lead the congregation. You're so 向心力. People will focus attention on your leadership. And good reputation comes from where? You have to do something more than other people. That means good reputation. Somebody don't want to do this and you do this. Somebody don't want to go there and you go there. If you do something which nobody want to do, and people will start to respect you. Oh, nobody want to clean the toilet and he was the one who do it. And nobody want to stay late and he was the one who stay late. Nobody want to come early and he was the one who come early. Right? From the bottom of the heart, everybody have a conscience. And the conscience will tell them, this is a good person. This is a very spiritual person. So this one deserves to lead the church. So good reputation not only coming from morally speaking, you have higher moral standard. Good reputation coming from responsibility-wise, you are willing to do more than other people. And then good reputation will come. The second one means to be filled by the Holy Spirit. How come to be filled by the Holy Spirit is so important? There are two important reasons. The first reason, when a person been filled by the Holy Spirit, the person will be zealous in serving God. You know, a lot of people serve God out of curiosity. You're out of curiosity. If there's a new fellowship, if there's a new program, if there's a new service, usually in the first few times, a lot of people come. But after they come for a while, they lose that kind of curiosity. They don't want to come anymore. After they find out, they have to make extra sacrifice, and then they don't come anymore. So if we try to serve God out of curiosity or out of convenience, you cannot serve too long. You know, some of the members, they serve God out of convenience. Oh, you want me to give right to somebody? Oh, yeah, okay, it's convenient, I can do it. Oh, it's fine, you do it out of convenience. But only out of convenience, you do it, you cannot do it too long. You attend the service because of convenience. Oh, today is holiday, so I can't come to the service. Then you cannot attend the service regularly because out of convenience. A lot of times it's inconvenient. The church cannot see you there. So in order to serve God with zeal, burning zeal, you need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. So what is Jesus? What the Bible talk about Jesus? Bible talk about Jesus. His heart was burning with zeal. So he cared so much about the temple of God. 我为神的殿心里着急，如同火在烧。 He worried about the temple of God, like a fire burning in him. Why? Because he was filled by the Holy Spirit. If you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you have zeal to serve God all the times. This is the first reason. The second reason, when we are filled by the Holy Spirit, it's easier to be guided by the Holy Spirit. And it's easier to reach one mind, one accord. When you come and do the interpretation, right? If you pray, and also the one who delivers sermon pray a lot, and both of them work together, you are going to feel it's just like one person. It's just work together like one person. But if a person delivers a sermon well prepared, and the person who try to interpret has no Holy Spirit, or has Holy Spirit but never pray, when you come to the pulpit to help the translation, you feel you have been dragged by the person stand beside you. Oh, so being filled by the Holy Spirit, very important. And the last one is full of wisdom. So what does the full of wisdom mean? To understand God's will. We try to lead the church, but do you know God's will? If we don't know God's will, we want to lead the church. Maybe you lead the church according to your own will. Maybe you lead the church according to what? The thinking in the society. And that is not what God wants us to do. Oh. So we want to do everything according to God's will. So God will please with our work. God will bless this church. We need to have spiritual wisdom. Oh. So three conditions. Good reputation, filled with Holy Spirit, and have spiritual wisdom. Let's pray in silence.